Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 31st, 2022. Today is Thursday in the fourth week of Lent. And this reflection is drawn from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through 35. I'm not quite certain if this is my imagination or not, but as I have read through Luke's Gospel during this Lenten season, I have simply become aware of how much time Jesus spends at dinner parties. Maybe it's the same in all of the other Gospels, but for whatever reason, maybe it's the way that Luke tells the story, it just feels like Jesus is eating a lot. And he's been at all sorts and conditions of dinner parties. He's been at dinner parties with tax collectors and sinners, and received the condemnation of the religious leadership. He's been at dinner parties hosted by the religious leadership and winds up getting in arguments with them over interpretation of the law. He's been to smaller dinner parties, like with his friends Mary and Martha. And today he is at another dinner party in Luke chapter 14. And what he takes notice of in this gathering is the social pecking order. Who gets the places of honor at the table and who are sent to the 21st century Southern American equivalent of the kids' table, the place around the corner and out of view of all the important people having dinner together. This prompts Jesus to give a lesson about humility and greatness and knowing one's place, but also understanding that one does not presume one's place, but rather one is invited to, in the language of Scripture, come up higher. But as Jesus watches the social pecking order, who's in, who's out, who's important, who's not, he tells a story. And the story is about a dinner. It's about a man who throws a lavish party and sends out his servants to invite all the A-list people. But for whatever reason, and there are plenty of them, three are given, the A-listers decline the host's invitation. One person has to see about some land, another person has to deal with the acquisition of new livestock, the third person rejects the invitation because that person has just gotten married. When the servant returns to the host with the news that none of the guests are coming, the host, in anger, sends the servant out and says, "Find people in the street. I'm going to have a party, and my party will not be thwarted by people rejecting the invitation. So bring them all in, the people that might not have been at the table otherwise, those who are on the margins, those who aren't on the A list. Heck, they're not even on the Z list. The least likely people in the world or in the town are brought in to the banquet hall." After all of this has been done, the servant says to the master, "What you've ordered has been done, and there is still room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste of my dinner." Well, obviously, those who are invited and rejected the invitation won't taste the dinner because they've already let themselves out of the event. They have, through their rejection of the hospitality offered to them, have deprived themselves of the host's dinner. Not so with all the wrong people who now find themselves at a banquet table spread with rich food and fine wine. People have called this parable a parable of the kingdom, a parable of the great dinner, a parable about the end of time, where all God's people are gathered for a feast of the ages. And so in that context, it is often seen as a parable of judgment, wherein the people who should have been there and everyone would have thought would be there aren't, and all the people that one wouldn't expect around God's table, well, there they are. Well, I'll leave it to the Bible scholars to debate whether this is a judgment parable. But I've been thinking about the parable from another angle today. I've been thinking about the feast that is offered at our church here at Trinity and every other Episcopal church and plenty of liturgical churches and non-liturgical churches alike. I've been thinking about the feast that's offered every Sunday, the feast of the Holy Eucharist. And I've been wondering if we ever think about what a privilege of grace and mercy it is to be invited around that table. It seems to me that we have entered a time, and we were here before the pandemic, but it feels like it's magnified now, where worship is the thing we try to figure out how to squeeze into overcrowded calendars. We may not have recently gotten married or bought some land or acquired some livestock, but there are all kinds of reasons that we allow to prevent us from coming to God's table. I wonder if it might be that we don't recognize the Eucharist as a banquet or a feast. I wonder if it's because we take for granted that it will always be available. If I miss it this week, I'll catch it again some other time when my schedule permits. I wonder if in our proclamation of the grace of God, if maybe we've been so keen to talk about how God is always waiting for us, waiting to receive us, waiting to forgive us, waiting to feed us, patiently waiting. I wonder if in our desire to paint a picture of God as gracious and merciful and long-suffering and loving, I wonder if some of us preachers haven't tacitly encouraged a certain amount of ambivalence amongst our parishioners. To be sure, there are plenty of reasons to come to church, and many people have different reasons other than receiving the sacrament. Some want to hear a sermon, others want to sing a hymn, still others want to hobnob with their friends and catch up on the latest life events over a cup of coffee in the parish hall. And all of those things are well and good, but I can't help but wonder if we've lost sight of the holy gift that is the holy meal. In a lot of ways, regardless of our socioeconomic status, we were all at one time poor and miserable sinners. We were all outcasts. But through the waters of baptism and the grace and consolation of God Almighty, and through the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, we who were afar off have been brought near. I don't know. I can't undo decades of preaching that makes coming to church seem optional. And I'm not in the mood to begin to impose some sort of new legalism about church attendance. I am keen, though, after reading this chapter today, to really begin to encourage people to see what an amazing gift it is to receive the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist and to be freshly reminded that the table is for all and that the host, Jesus himself, invites all to the table. And I hope and pray that as we gather around the table, we will reflect deeply on just how hungry we are and how the only thing that can feed us is the holy food and drink of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both the host and the feast. Let us pray. God our Father, whose Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in a wonderful sacrament, has left us a memorial of his passion, grant us so to venerate the sacred mysteries of his body and blood, that we may ever perceive within ourselves the fruit of his redemption, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.